This is the What Now Podcast.
No, there are not coincidences. And the Lord also, if you look at it one way, you could say, oh, the missionary has made a mistake and not bringing an extra copy. No, the Lord literally uses our mistakes to bless other people. So it's just, the details are just wild. And the Lord knows how to speak to us in the language that we are going to understand Him. He knows us better than we know ourselves. So it was just, I couldn't deny it. I can't deny it.
This is the What Now Podcast, where we have faithful discussions to support, educate, and inspire members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I am Mary Alice Hatch, your host. Join me as I speak with Sarah Copperthwaite as she shares the serendipitous events that led to her incredible conversion story and how she has let God prevail in her life in miraculous ways. Today I'm here with Sarah Copperthwaite. Welcome.
Hi, Mary Alice. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today.
Thank you for taking the opportunity. I am so excited for you to share your story. It is incredible. But before we begin, I'd just like to invite you to share a little bit about yourself so our listeners can get to know you better.
Yeah, I would love to. My name is Sarah. I am 27 years old. I grew up in Ohio, in Cincinnati, actually. And after graduating from nursing school, I moved out to Southern California. And I just got back about 3 weeks ago. I lived in Mexico for 18 months, where I was serving as a missionary for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And it was the most challenging and rewarding thing of my life. But so anyways, now I'm out here again, trying to figure out my next steps. Like I said, I'm a nurse, and we will see. We will see what the future holds.
Okay. Well, okay, so we need to fill in a lot of those holes on that overview. That's such a good little summary. But can you tell us how you found the gospel of Jesus Christ after you graduated from nursing school?
Yes, I would love to. So yes, like I said, I had graduated and I decided after that I moved from Ohio out here to California. I have family out here and I loved it out here. And I kind of took advantage of this time in my life and I decided to kind of make a trip out of it. So I spent 50 days traveling across the country and to just see all of the beautiful parts of the United States. And so during my travels, I ended up in Utah. And when I was in Utah, I saw the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints on every single street corner. And I had never heard of this church before I got there. And then all of a sudden I was seeing it everywhere. And one day, after seeing the church yet again, I literally had the thought go through my mind, why is this church following me? I literally felt like I was being followed everywhere that I went. And a couple days later, I ended up actually in another state. I was in Montana. And for just one night, we stayed in a hotel room, a Marriott hotel, actually. And coming back from dinner, I just felt prompted to open the drawer of the bed nightstand, and I found a Book of Mormon in the drawer. And I was like, what? Same church, different state? Okay, I'm for sure being followed. What's going on here? So I started to read it because I was super curious to try to find out what was true. And I was absolutely to try to find out what was going on. And I was blown away in the introduction that it mentions that Jesus Christ came to the Americas. And I did not know that. And I was shocked that I didn't know that. And at the end of the introduction, when it invites us to pray to find out for ourselves to know if this is true. Because the only things that I knew about Mormons beforehand is that they had a lot of wives and they forced you to join their religion. And so I was like, wait, what? This is an invitation. That doesn't seem to add up with my perspective. So I wasn't really sure what was going on, but I literally have a journal entry from that night. And I said, I don't know what's happening here, but something is happening. So anyways, I continue on my travels. And like I said, I was visiting some of the most beautiful places in America. And I just felt really close to Heavenly Father in those moments. I just felt Him in His creation and how amazing it was. And a hymn from my childhood, I was raised Catholic, a hymn from my childhood that's based on Psalm 19 popped into my mind one day when I was walking around a really beautiful lake. And it sort of became the theme song of my trip. And the verse says, "The heavens are telling the glory of God." And I just felt like it kind of summed up. That's just how everything around me was just testifying of of a loving creator all around us. So that sort of, that hymn kind of carried me across the country. Mm-hmm. So anyways, I get out here to California and I started volunteering at a local food pantry in San Clemente that's called Family Assistance Ministries. And one day I was paired up to work with another volunteer, and her name is Autumn McAlpin. And we ended up chatting, and I found out that she was a member, and I had questions for her because her church had been following me. So we had a great conversation, and at the end of the conversation, she asked me if I wanted to meet with the missionaries. And at this point, I did not know what a missionary was, but I was like, well, sure, why not? So a couple days later, I had my first lesson with the missionaries, and we were on the San Clemente Pier, and they shared with me Joseph Smith's first vision. And I knew that it was true. And I did not understand how I could know that something like that was true, but I knew that it was true. And at the end of our lesson, they asked me if I wanted my own copy of the Book of Mormon. And I said, yes, I do. I want to know what's going on here. So the missionaries are searching in their bags, and they look up at me, and they're like, we are so sorry. We forgot an extra copy of the Book of Mormon. And I was like, no, no worries. That's okay. But there was a recent convert at the lesson with us, and she pulled a Book of Mormon out of her bag, and she had painted the cover of this Book of Mormon, and she had written on the cover, "The heavens are telling the glory of God." And I literally felt a lightning bolt shoot through my body in that moment, and I knew that God was saying, I know you, I have been here all along, and I know that you know that I know that. And wow. That was a very profound moment for me. And so that's how I sort of got introduced to the whole thing.
It's interesting how that came full circle. Like, you're here, were you visiting like national parks and things?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which are amazing, wonders of the world, honestly. Mm-hmm. And then when you're looking up at the skies, you're probably thinking that, right? The heavens are telling the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. That's that full verse. It's such a beautiful verse in Psalms 19. Mm-hmm. But the full circle is you're on the pier, you're talking to the missionaries, they always have copies of the Book of Mormon. And then the person there with them, the recent convert, has the copy painted with your theme scripture. I mean, there's no coincidences.
No, there are no coincidences. And it's so crazy because that was the only time. So the person, the angel that painted the Book of Mormon, her name is Lauren Stewart. And she, like, about a week after that happened, she left on her mission to go to Hawaii. And so I didn't see her again until after she had gotten back from her mission. So it was just so perfect. And actually, when Lauren and I were talking after everything had happened, she told me that was the only Book of Mormon she ever painted. And the day when she was going to the lesson, she felt super prompted that she needed to bring that Book of Mormon with her, but she didn't know why. And so it's just like, there are not coincidences. And the Lord also, if you look at it one way, you could say, oh, the missionary has made a mistake in not bringing an extra copy. No, the Lord literally uses our mistakes to bless other people. So it's just, the details are just wild. And the Lord knows how to speak to us in the language that we are going to understand him. He knows us better than we know ourselves. So it was just, I mean, I couldn't deny it. I can't deny it.
Oh, no way. I mean, just the fact that it's the exact, like, scripture and verse you've been quoting that whole time, and that's what was painted on the copy of the Book of Mormon, and that she followed the prompting, that's a good lesson for all of us. When we get those inspired promptings and we might not understand it, to follow it, because God's got the master plan, right? There is a reason.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And a lot of times it's those little things, like, I don't want to put words in her mouth. I think that she even told me, honestly, that she left her apartment and then she went back to go get the book. I'm almost certain that she told me that. So even, and that's the thing, I feel like we always get impressions without knowing why. Like, we're not going to know the why until a lot later. And we might not even ever know the why in this life.
I know. Well, it's interesting. So you had that, like, powerful wow moment. And how could you not, right? The lightning bolt has hit you. This is needed. And so when did you know that you needed to be baptized? How did you make that next step?
Yeah, so that was a different story. Honestly, like I said, there was no way that I could deny that encounter with the Lord and with the Holy Spirit that I had that moment. But I was like, what? Mormons? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, wait a second.
Joke. And so I had a lot of questions, but I started meeting a lot of people, a lot of members, and I was just shocked by how kind they were. And they all had this light in their eyes. And I didn't know what it was, but I was so drawn to it. And just that they were welcoming me into their home, because this was still, like, things were a little weird still during this time. It was, like, during COVID, basically. And so the fact, you know, I was here, I didn't have much of a community, and they were inviting me into their homes, even during this strange time. But I still wasn't, totally convinced. And so this one day, I was walking on the beach, and I was just in inner turmoil, honestly. I was in inner turmoil. I had so many questions of what's going to happen, what are other people going to think, how am I possibly going to tell my family, what is this going to mean for my future, I don't understand why this is happening, what if this isn't what I want, what if this isn't what God wants, just all sorts of questions and doubts and all of these things. And so I'm walking on the beach with all of this in my mind and my heart, just no, not 1 ounce of peace in my being. And I just stopped myself for a second, like, wait, I am walking on the beach right now, like, why do I not have peace, what is going on here? And so I recognized that there was, you know, there was this war, this internal war going on. And a couple hours later, I was driving down the road on the way to a lesson with the missionaries. And I literally felt a physical shift in my heart. And I heard the words in my mind, why are you resisting blessings?
Mm.
And that was my answer. That was the answer that, yes, baptism is what is the next step for you. And I was like,
and so what did that timeline look like from when you were on the pier getting that copy of the Book of Mormon to getting baptized? How long was that?
I think it was about 6 weeks.
Wow, that's pretty quick.
Yeah, so it was, and it's so wild, so much happened in that 6 weeks. But yeah, in the grand scheme of things, that is not that long. So
when did you speak in state conference? How long had you been a baptized member then?
That was what, in January probably of the next year, less than a year, I would say. Or was that the same year?
Because I heard you speak in state conference and I was blown away. Like, you have the gift of speaking with the Spirit. And I heard you, now I'm in the YSA ward with you, which is so fun. And I heard you give our lesson in Release Society a couple weeks ago, and I had that same, like, captivated feeling when you were speaking, and you had your eyes, or you had these beautiful light blue eyes, but they're filled with light. And I remember seeing that in you when you were speaking in state conference. There was like this amazing spirit about you, and I was hanging on every word that you were saying. You were just pouring out this truth and doctrine in such a beautiful way. And everyone commented on it after you spoke in state conference. And then after I heard you speak in Release Society, I was like, gosh, something about her is so familiar to me. I don't know how I know this girl. And then I came home and I was kind of putting it together with those feelings that I was having. I'm like, she's the one who spoke at state conference. And then I texted you. I'm like, are you the one who spoke at state conference as a new, you know, convert to the church? And you're like, yes. And I just, you speak with this really beautiful spirit, and your countenance and your being is filled with light. It's so beautiful to witness, honestly. Not that we don't all have that, but there's something unique about you in that you have that, and that you are just brought into this gospel in such a direct and intentional way. The Lord was definitely following you.
Well, thank you for saying that. I appreciate it. But I also can say that that light is, it's actually not me. It's definitely the Holy Spirit. It is not me. And I just ask and I pray that the Lord will use me as an instrument. And honestly, this, what he has given me, it is to be shared. It is not something that is for me at all. People say that, like, I love your story. I'm like, it is not mine at all. This is a gift I have given. Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one that wrote the story. He's the one that wrote it. He's the one that gave it to me. And of course, my responsibility is to share it with other people. And I'm just so humbled that I can have something to share. And I just pray every time that I am given the opportunity to share it, that the Spirit will be the one to do the speaking, because there's so many facets that can teach us different lessons about listening to our Heavenly Father, about following Him, about trusting in other people, and just the plan, that His plan is so utterly perfect, and it's so utterly personalized, and He knows us on such an intimate level that we just have to trust Him.
I mean, your life is probably very different than how it was before. I mean, how has your life changed since you joined the church with a Catholic upbringing, and now you're a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? I mean, how did your family handle that? How have you transitioned now that you have kind of the full gospel?
Yeah, so it's definitely been a bit of a transition, honestly, but it was really interesting. After being baptized, it was like my life changed completely, but it actually didn't change at all. So the thing that changed is the way that I look at the world, the way that I see who I am, the fact that I know my own divine identity and I know the plan. So I know, I just look at the world in such a different way. I deal with opposition and adversity in such a different way now, which has been amazing. And I feel like having the gospel of Jesus Christ has helped me so much with my relationships, because I also am able to forgive like I wasn't able to before. And so that really improves your relationships and just lets you accept other people for who they are, and lets you also accept yourself and make mistakes and be like, that's okay. If I make a mistake and if someone else makes a mistake, like that's why Jesus Christ paid for all of it, so that we can change and we don't have to just let that weigh us down. So I feel like my life, like, as an essence, obviously I'm still the same person, but everything is just so much better. I have peace. I experience joy every single day. I don't have fear. I'm excited to see what it is that the Lord has in store for me. And I'm not going to say that it's easy, because the trials keep going, but it's like, it's exciting. I like going through trials. I like being challenged. I like to see what it is that He has for us and how to figure out how to call upon Him and how to receive His power and receive His help. Because when we're on the Lord's errand, we have every right to His help. And so it's just been so exciting to try to figure out what that is and to put my life in line with His. And it's so much better. It is so much better. Living in the world is not pleasant.
Well, I love that you are so committed to your faith and that you're allowing yourself to let God prevail in your life. Like the prophet's always asking us that, you know, will you let God prevail in your life? How do you let God prevail in your life? And you have turned your life over to Him. And look at all the amazing things He's allowing you to do to be a witness of His gospel. It's really neat.
Yeah, so I just to comment something. Last week I had volunteered at this Family Assistance Ministries, and sometimes it's a lot of work, and so I was driving away and I was really tired. But I just felt so full, and I was like, it's so cool. The more that you give, literally just makes more room to receive more of Heavenly Father's light and love. And so I was like, why would we not want to give? Just give all of it away so that we have more room to receive from Him. And it's His way is just so much better than our way.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, I love that you decided to go on a mission, because you weren't the typical age of a young missionary. How did you come to that decision that you were going to serve a mission?
Yeah, so people actually started asking me if I was going to serve a mission before I got baptized. And I was like, no, that is not part of this deal at all. I am not doing that. I am way too old. Because, yeah, I got baptized when I was 24, but people kept asking me. They kept asking me all the time, are you going to serve a mission? Are you going to serve a mission? All the time. And I was like, all right, well, I should just start praying about it then. So I started praying about it to try to know what to do. And it was one day after an institute class, and one of the guest speakers came up, and we were chatting afterwards, and he asked me, are you going to serve a mission? And I was like, I just don't know. I have been praying about it and I haven't gotten the answer yet. And he told me about a recent convert who had ended up serving her mission in Japan. And the minute he said the word Japan, it was like a switch went off inside of me. And all of a sudden my desires just changed. And I was like, a mission is exactly what I need to do in this exact moment. I am absolutely going to serve a mission. And then it was just exactly what I needed to do. And I know that's kind of like a strange thing. And for a little while, I actually wondered, like, does that mean I'm going to go to Japan on my mission? But I don't know. I don't know why that was the thing that switched. But it was a physical feeling that I had. And I was like, I'm absolutely going to serve a mission. That was absolutely my answer. So Heavenly Father just changed my desires. And that's what I wanted to do.
I love that you get these answers and then you go with it. You know what? So many people would rationalize that I'm too old. I'm in a career. You're doing the nursing thing now. You've moved to California, you know, and people just can let that put off the goal. But you embraced it, and you, because people can receive revelation and not follow it. But you did follow it. And it's interesting, like being an older missionary, did you feel that being older was helpful?
Honestly, yes. Like, it was tricky sometimes, you know, working with 18 and 19 year olds. Because, yeah. I was 26. I'm 27 now. I just got back. So I was 26 and 27 on the mission. But there was actually a lot of people my age or older. One of my best friends who was my companion, she's 31 and she's still serving. So I actually was super blessed. One of my other companions was 3 months older than me. And I really feel like, yes, those of us that had a little bit more experience were really blessed with the opportunity to be a bit more supportive to the younger missionaries. And that is a huge part of a mission. You're not just there to go find people that don't know about the gospel. You are also there to learn and to grow with other people that are part of the gospel already. We are all in this together and we all need one another. So I do think the experiences that I had beforehand really did help me to be able to support other missionaries with certain things that, you know, even if it's just, you know, knowing how to clean up after yourself, knowing how to make yourself breakfast, you know, all that sort of stuff. So it definitely helped a lot.
Right. I mean, you were on your own. You had a lot more independence. You had work experience. You're done with school. I mean, you were further ahead than most of these kids probably are. So you probably had a different perspective that could help them.
Yeah, it's funny, though, because I remember when I was about to get set apart and the stake president asked me and he was like, are you ready? And I was like, yes. I had been praying. I had been working. I was like, I'm 20. At that point, I was like, I'm 25. I'm like, I'm ready for this. And he just looks at me and he goes, now let me tell you why you're not ready.
And I'm like, what? Oh,
okay. And honestly, he was so right. He was so right. You will never be ready for your mission. I don't think oftentimes we're ready for the things that Heavenly Father wants us to do. But what matters is that we're willing. That we are willing to do what it is that he's asking us to do. And that we're going to do our part in seeking out the revelation to know how he wants us to do it. And then it's in those growing moments, in that challenge, that we come to know him better and that we come to know ourselves better as well. And that we grow as disciples, that we're able to complete with this mission. And sometimes it's painful and sometimes it's uncomfortable, I would say most of the time. But that's really when the good stuff happens.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. I mean, just being a convert too, it probably was a different mission experience than someone who's probably been raised in the church. Like, knowing how the gospel of Jesus Christ has changed your life, how did that motivate you on your mission with your interactions with those who are really seeking for truth? Because you had been one of those seeking.
Yeah, I feel like I never, ever, ever struggled with a good motivation. Like, I never was like, why are we doing this? Why? I knew why we were doing it. And I was like, there are people. Like, this is so, what we have is so important that I also feel like I wasn't that shy. I was pretty bold in what I was sharing. But I know that people that don't know the difference, like that have always grown up with this around, I feel like they don't have that perspective of how dark it can be. And just knowing that we had the answers for these people, like we didn't obviously, but that the answer is Jesus Christ and that all that they have to do is take these steps and it will get better. They will find what they're looking for, that he can heal everything. He can fix everything. And I don't know, that was just so rock solid in me that I knew that that was exactly what everyone needs, that I never was like, why are we here? Why are we doing this? This is stupid. Mm-hmm. It was like, no, this is every ounce of hard work is because this is so important.
And you could probably relate too to people who had questions. I mean, you had tons of questions.
Yeah, that's funny that you say that. I had so many questions that actually, like, that was a little tricky for my conversion process, because I just had so many questions that I was distracted by my questions. But one of the last people that I was able to witness him, you know, make the decision and get baptized, he had so many questions. And I was like, yeah, I needed to have to deal with this from the other side too, and just like understand and be able to have the patience to be like, yes, we can answer your questions, but there's certain questions that are more important than others. And that was actually something that I realized when I was having all my questions, is that, like, in all of my questions, I was like, okay, what matters? What does it mean? And why is it important? Like, if I have a question, but it doesn't actually matter that much, I don't need to let that change anything. I need to focus on what matters, figure out what that means, and make sure that I'm focusing on what's important. And so just trying to, like, direct him a little bit in all of his questions, like, okay, you can have a lot of questions, but we got to figure out the most important ones first.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's good too, because you went through that experience, and it's probably interesting, like you were saying, to be on the other side of it as a missionary.
Yes.
Because you were cute in your video. Tell me a little bit about the church video that you did.
Yeah, so Brother Brian Andre, he is, the institute teacher here, and he had made a short video of the story of my conversion. And I guess a director from Bonneville Communications, he saw this video, and he was like, okay, this is a cool story. I would like to make a video of this. I don't know how he found out that I was on a mission in Mexico, but he contacted my stake the mission president, who had been my stake president. So he was very familiar with everything that had happened, the whole story. And this director was like, hey, we want to make this video. Can we come while Sarah's there in Mexico and film her? Because at this point, I only had 6 months on the mission, so I was still going to be down there for another year. So this whole crew, this filming crew, comes down to Mexico, and we filmed. And it was super wild. They had my district of the missionaries. They had us all go down to, like, downtown Querétaro in Mexico. And they had us take off our tags, our missionary tags, so that we would look a little bit more normal, because the whole point of the video was to tell my conversion story, not to, you know, focus on the fact that I was then a missionary. So, you know, we're walking around downtown Querétaro, and, you know, they're setting up all these scenes, they're having us film all this stuff, and it was really interesting, too. They just, you know, they just had me tell my story a bunch of times, ask me a bunch of questions, and it was really cool to be able to remember in that moment on my mission, you know, all the things that happened to me, and all of the details and all of the people and all of the moments that had led me to where I was then, and to just be able to share that with, you know, my companions on the mission, the other people in my district. And so I'm super grateful, honestly, for that experience, and that they were able to do it. And also that I have those memories now, that when I see, you know, that footage, I know where we were and what we were doing and how interesting and cool it was and the whole experience.
Okay, that's cool. I didn't realize you filmed that while you were on your mission.
Yeah.
What? That's so interesting. They came down to Mexico and did that. I'll have to watch it again from that lens.
Yeah, it is funny. Yeah, no, because they were at one point, you know, when we're on the streets and stuff, they were like, we don't want it to look too Mexican, because, like, your whole story is in California.
You're from Ohio.
So they filmed the parts that I'm in it, that I'm talking and everything, all of that happens in Mexico, but they came to California to talk to my dad, to talk to the missionaries that had baptized me. So it's funny too, because the missionaries that taught me, they were already home from their missions, obviously, at this point. And so they had them put their badges back on. So it was just so funny. They kind of reenacted the whole thing, and they did awesome, you know, touching all the important points and everything.
Yeah, they really did. It was fun to kind of watch your journey on that, having to get to know you a little bit better now that we're in the Word together, and just kind of watching your journey and just the brightness in you. And it's true, everyone can have that light and brightness when they're, like, really committed to their covenants and to the gospel, and they want to live it and they want to share it. There is a light, like an aura around people who are in that headspace.
Yeah, it's really true. I mean, I think about this as well. Like, if if God wants to draw other people to the gospel, like, he's not going to use something that's not light.
Right.
So if you want God to use you, you got to do things that are going to draw more light. You know, he doesn't have any darkness. We just read that in Come Follow Me this past week.
Mm-hmm.
That there is no darkness in God. There is none of that. And so, I don't know. He just, that's what I say. I'm like, please just use me. Just use me as you want. And honestly, when the first time when Brother Andre wanted to make the initial video, I was like, oh, I do not want to do that. Because I've never had social media. I had to make a Facebook to go on the mission, but I don't, like, I can't stand seeing pictures of myself. It's super uncomfortable to hear your own voice. Mm-hmm. So I was like, what? I do not want you to do that. But the Lord was super clear with me, like I said, it's not my story. Like, this is not mine. This is his, and he wants to use it. So I was like, okay, whatever you need, that's fine. It's not mine. Like, I will do it. I will be this for you. And now I'm like, yeah, that's what I want. His way is better. His way is the way. And so I'm just like, all right, use me, guide me. I am yours, and help me so that I can do the things that you want me to do. And he does. He's a God of miracles.
I know, it's really neat. Like, when you really do commit to something like that, like, I will testify, use me. I will be, you know, a vehicle for the gospel and for people to know this truth. He will create opportunities for you to do that. So neat. I love that. So what is one of the greatest blessings of the gospel to you?
The greatest blessings of the gospel. Honestly, I would say the peace.
Mm.
I remember the night after my baptism. So I got baptized and confirmed on the same day. And, you know, there was a bunch of people supporting me. It was a super amazing experience having all of them around. And then we actually went over to Autumn McAlpin's house afterwards. But I remember finally when I got back to my room and I was alone for the first time after that, the very first thing that I noticed was that there was quiet. It was like years of noise that had been living in my mind was just gone. And I just had this cleanness and this quietness. That was the most beautiful sense of peace that I had felt in years.
Hmm.
And ever since then, it's like in whatever moment, I can go back to that peace. Anytime that I don't have that peace, it's like a compass for me. If I don't have that, I know that I need to do something differently. I know that I need to repent of something to get that back. Because we don't have the promise from our Heavenly Father that we're always going to be happy. But we do have the promise that we can have peace literally constantly. And that is such a blessing because you can be in the middle of a heart-wrenching, horrible day and you can still have peace. And so that, to me, honestly, has been the biggest blessing, is just being able to dwell in that peace, that I'm not scared. I'm not worried. Yes, sometimes, you know, we have anxiety. There's so many uncertainties. Like, I have no idea what a month from now looks like for me. But I just trust him. And so, yes, I still have that. But I use all that uncertainty to just push me to draw closer to him. And just dwell in the peace of the promise of his goodness. And that is so valuable for me.
Mm-hmm. That is beautifully said. Dwell in the peace of the promise. I love that. Oh my gosh, I love this interview today. I thank you for taking the time to continue to share your truth, to share the doctrine, to share your faith, and to be willing to really open your mouth and share these amazing truths to uplift and edify other members of the church. Thank you so much.
No, thank you for the opportunity. Honestly, it's not me at all. It's such a privilege. It is a privilege to be one of the Lord's chosen people, that we are part of his covenant, that he chose us, that we are his people. That is, wow, what an incredible blessing and an honor it is to be part of his work.
Beautifully said. Thank you so much, Sarah. I appreciate you taking the time.
No, thank you, Mary Alice. Such a pleasure to be here with you today.
Thank you. Thank Thank you for listening to the What Now podcast. Please share this episode with family, friends, and anyone you think it might help. If you enjoyed the podcast, please take a minute to leave a positive rating and written review, which really helps the podcast to grow. If you're on Instagram, follow us at Podcast What Now for inspirational messages and highlights from our past and present episodes. We never say goodbye, we say what now. This has been a What Now podcast production.